Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello. Okay, what was it last week? It's gone from best to cool to groovy. Okay, stupendous audience. You are stupendous. Okay, mission accepted. Here we are. What's that about? What are you doing with us today? You are going to hear some very, very cool stories from our guest, Megan, today, who is coming on as an entrepreneurial creative. So what is taking the mission? Well, she's going to talk a little bit about hers. But if you're sitting there going, hey, I landed on this podcast, it says mission accepted. What the heck is that about? It's really about gumption. It's really about saying yes. It's really about going to the next step. It's really about having faith in what you decide that what it is that you want to take on. We have passions, we have careers, there's things, and sometimes we put them together. Sometimes they're off the side of your 9-to-5 desk, right? And it's just that aspiration. What makes you say yes? You could have been forced into the decision. You could have been dragged in by a girlfriend or a partner, or you could have really literally woke up one day and knew that everything had to change. And so grab the gems that are going to drop from Megan today on how she chose and what it was for her process around deciding to accept the mission. So, and then we've got some great questions that you have to hear after, and I've got a little treat for you as well. So Megan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Deborah. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's great. We both have shared some authorship together, and it's so great too. I got to tell you guys, I mean, media is fantastic. And one of the best ways to get the word out about what it is that you're doing or what have is to really gather into maybe an authorship or anyways, I talk about that quite a bit, but just being in collaboration with other people, whether it's in a book or it's something in relationship to media or it's doing a podcast together, but it's just a great way to get out there to other people's audiences. It's exactly what we're doing today. So Megan has this incredible story when we chatted, and man, she's just like this soulful community servant leader, and she's got this amazing family, but she's also got this amazing part of her that is autonomous, and that is about her art. So Megan, what was the process around that for you? Like, did art come to you young? Was it something you tapped into due to an experience? And then from that point, what made you take it out to the world? Because there is a lot of people that don't do that. They decide not to market for whatever reason.
Well, I have to say creativity has been an inherent part of who I am from the very beginning. You know, when I think back to my childhood, I grew up in the rural Saskatchewan landscape, beautiful, wide open environment in the 70s, just rich with opportunity and freedom, actually. So that's where I grew up. I could spend hours just in the fields with natural materials. I loved to build sculptures out of rocks. I loved to build environments. I was always in nature, and I did a lot of drawing as a child. But it wasn't, I went through, you know, my adolescence as we do, and I kind of became disconnected from that part of myself for a number of years. And then I went to university for a year. I had gone into fine art, but it wasn't hands-on and it didn't really resonate. So I went into the world and backpacked for a year, and it was experiencing the world beyond what I'd known growing up that reunited me with the possibility of centering around a creative life, and actually the inherent importance for myself to have that as a vehicle with which to make sense of the complexity of the world. That's actually where I'm most peaceful, is when I'm creating, when I'm in front of a canvas, and especially when I've spent a lot of time outside in the world beyond, and I start to feel decentralized or disconnected from my own wisdom or my own intuition, it's coming back to the studio and being in front of the canvas that can re-harmonize me, and in a way that almost nothing else can. So I decided to go to the Alberta College of Art. I was thankfully accepted, and my journey began there.
I think that's very interesting. As someone who is creative and hangs out with a lot of creatives, and you know, the different things that we do to balance ourselves or come back to peace or what have you, it's very interesting. You know, people know me, that know me well, I always say on my bucket list is to be at a place in my life where I can literally go to the art gallery every Tuesday afternoon and turn my phone off. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that I haven't done it. I've done it many times. But I think it's really interesting that those of us that are creative, and obviously you extend your creative into form, and people get to go and they look at it, or they get to touch it, or, you know, when people knit or people cook food or whatever the creative piece is. The beautiful thing about art, when I hear you describe it like that, is that it's the place where it fills you. But the beautiful thing about art is kind of like a double-sided gift, because it's also the thing that people hang in their home that they, when they walk by, fills them, or else they wouldn't have been attracted to it. Or it's the pottery piece on their desk that they're like, gosh, I just love. And you remember, I remember buying that from that festival, and that woman was super cool, and oh my gosh, this. And we have memories and attachments. And so not only does it give what it sounds like for you, this creative sense of peace and knowingness and calm, but also the gift of art, when you actually get to that place where you're willing to part with it, right? You're willing to part with it. That's a whole other conversation. Is that it does the exact same thing for the receiver.
Well, that's the hope for sure.
Yeah, that's the hope for sure. Okay, so there you are. And I know people are going to be able to go onto your website and see the beautiful artwork that you do. So what took it from this is something that's a part of me to I'm going to make a business, I'm going to put a price tag to that? And what was that like for you?
Well, I mean, to be honest, that's definitely the challenging part of that. And I think that's not uncommon among creatives. And, you know, to put a value on something that in many ways is priceless for me, because it represents this journey and exploration. And when a piece comes out of something authentic for me, it is actually difficult to put a price on it, because I do become quite attached to the experience around it. But at the same time, I want to be able to share the experience I have. The West Coast rainforest is one of my favorite subject matters, and one of the most healing places for me is to be in the forest. And I, when I'm in front of the canvas trying to represent whatever trees or collection of trees, I'm not painting them the way I see them, I'm painting them the way I feel them, and the way I feel when I'm in the forest. So to bring that to people who don't have the same opportunity I have to be in the forest is really meaningful to me. So that makes it easier to go the next step and say, I'm willing to part with this for X amount of dollars, because my hope is that it actually brings some healing and peace, that sense of what I get to experience when I'm in the forest, to whoever decides that they want that in their home.
Right. I think it's an entrepreneurial challenge by nature in all industry, or I should say when people are doing things themselves. Like, yes. It's one of the things I know, and I'm sure you do as well, because I know that I work with people, you work with people, we coach and train and mentor, right? And I do that in the realm of entrepreneurship a lot, as I know you work with people as well. And one of the things that comes up a lot is value. You know, what is our value? Whether you're coaching someone, whether you're producing products for someone, whether you're training with someone, whether you're teaching them how to sing, whether you're, you know, giving a piece of artwork away, whether you're helping them put a book together, whatever it is. It's interesting, the relationship of value, right? Of what we give to the marketplace. And so many times it comes back to self, particularly people that are empaths or servant leaders. You know, there's this tend to want to give it away. or I'm sure that's not with your artwork. You're like, oh, I'm going to just paint this and give it away. But there's this relationship that people have with value mm-hmm. in the world of entrepreneurship that I think is a bit of a journey and many times needs support and some rocks turned over. So artists, like, you know, sometimes never part with some pieces, but will part with the print or what have you. So just for our listeners, I can hear a question. It's like, so what makes you decide? Like, do you do market research? Do you see what prices are out on the market? Does it come intuitively? How do you get to a place? What is your deciding making formula for what a piece is to sell to the market?
Well, I mean, largely it goes by size, pragmatically speaking. So, you know, the two pieces that are behind me here are similar sizes, and they'd probably be priced around the same, but sort of same level. But then there's also the other aspect of how, you know, how much meaning that has, how much, you know, the one here, oh, it's hard to, mm-hmm. is actually was done in the months following my father-in-law's passing. So I feel very attached to that piece because of that. Mm-hmm. And it's called Grandfather. Mm-hmm. And it's, so there's those aspects that make it more complicated for me.
Right.
I have a complex relationship with reproductions. And because for me, the energy around the creation of the piece is such an inherently crucial part of it.
Right.
I don't feel the same about reproductions yet. To create a sustainable art practice that needs. So I have done reproductions on things like tote bags and, you know, because then it's not, it's, you get the image, but you're not expecting that same kind of energy from that. You know, I don't right. tend to do reproductions on canvas because I almost feel like that is masquerading as the real thing. And, and so that's my own, you know, like, limited yeah. prints, people do that. And I, you know, so there are aspects like that. I certainly have done cards with my, that I just, you know, sell or give to my family so that they have representations of pieces that I think are really meaningful for our family context. But
yeah,
it is. It's a, to be honest, my partner is much more the business-minded person, so he's also a creative, and he has largely done the marketing for my art and his dad's art and his own music. So, you know, I lean on him for that mm-hmm. to a great extent.
Well, that's a great song, Lean on Me, right? And
it
I
is.
Think that that's one of the magic formulas, I think, in the world of creative is finding someone that you can trust. That has your understanding at heart, but also understands, you know, that you need to go buy more canvases, understands yeah. that you need to, you know, there needs to be a marketing aspect. And I think for all areas of business, when you're an entrepreneur, because in the beginning, of course, you try to do everything that you can because you have a budget mm-hmm. or you didn't do a business plan. You know, it's very interesting. My son is now 18 and I don't know about you, Megan, but when I started my business, it was like, I had the idea. And then I went forward with the idea and kind of hoped that the money would come. That yeah. was the 30 year ago formula. And yeah. I'm like, when he's starting his business, I'm like, we're doing a business plan. He's like, oh, I don't really want to. I'm like, oh, I think we need to. So things are a little different, but it's, again, as a creative, when you have an idea, you just want to run with it. But it's important to have yourself around some trusted advisors that can advise you in the right direction, whether it's, you know, marketing or whether it's really if you need to do, you know, TikTok or not.
You know, yeah, exactly. Well, I guess I have the immense blessing of having very rich mentorship in my family and my in-law family. So, you know, we've been really blessed to have that kind of support and a framework that really makes everything feel possible because you get to witness it. And so that's been a really, priceless part of my creative journey, to be honest.
Yeah. And I was just going to ask you that. I was like, so what's some of the, you know, what are some of the, I don't know, on top, you were just saying how it's such a blessing. Like what's, if you, to use your word, to be like, what are some of the blessings of being an entrepreneur? What are some of the blessings of doing what it is that you do? What have you found that's made it worth it?
Well, you know, I think having been in a partnership with another creative, and we have three amazing sons together, 26, 22, and 14, they run a spectrum of ages. And for the past 27 years, we have managed to stay true to our creative practices, centering around creativity. As you know, as entrepreneur, there's a roller coaster of we're good right now, we're in a low period right now, and being willing to ride that roller coaster together and trust that we'll just keep being true to what we do and what feels possible. And I've been able to have an art practice, homeschool three boys. My partner's been able to, Joelle's been able to tour the world. And somehow it all holds together, this amazing tapestry of faith and hope and creativity. And yes, a lot of support from our families and amazing communities that we are so blessed to be a part of. But just feeling that, the elation of possibility and being willing to stay on the path of uncertainty and know that if you just stay centered, we'll be able to keep feeding ourselves. And yes, we are scraping together the pennies in the jar this month. And I remember the years, the decades that we've been on this journey together, and I wouldn't trade a moment of it. There's benefit to being in the workforce, which I'm experiencing right now, but there's nothing compared to being the author of how you get to expend your energy, how you get to contribute to the world energetically. And my energy has been available to me to mother from the very core of my being, to be with my boys, to have the privilege of watching them unfold. And there's nothing like that. And so I just feel really grateful. I wouldn't trade a moment of any of it. And yeah, it's been
Let's
amazing.
see. So, what artists do you like? What artists inspire you? I mean, your art obviously inspires you and you inspire others, but what captures your attention?
Well, I do think I tend to be drawn to art that has a kind of infusion of energy, so it doesn't tend to be like I probably tend towards more conceptual art, a little less realistic, because I want to feel the soul of the author. And that I think that's true for me of sculpture, of all kinds of 2D art, painting, printmaking, watercolor, whatever it is. And it's also true for me of music. And so I am, of course, very drawn to artists like Emily Carr. She has been, since I've been a child, I remember spending hours and hours in the Vancouver Art Gallery. I come to Vancouver from Saskatchewan to stay with my aunt and uncle or my uncle in Vancouver. And I could spend hours in the art gallery just looking and feeling Emily Carr's paintings. And reading her writing about why she painted and what drove her to continue to try to depict the magnificence and mystery of the West Coast rainforest. And I can feel that in her work. And she has certainly been, actually had an opportunity to exhibit in Emily Carr House in a few years ago, a couple of years ago now. So the house that she grew up in Victoria. And I got to have my paintings hanging in the dining room and the parlor, and just feeling the energy around that was it was really amazing, actually, to be there. And her sisters, who were proper Victorian women, and Emily was the oddball, and she was following her path to the rhythm of her own drum. And that really appeals to me as an artist, as a woman, as a human being in the world. And it always has resonated. So her art really has been a huge part of my inspiration and my commitment to just sticking with it.
Great. That's incredible. First of all, congratulations. It's those kind of things that happen that, you know, I think we need to celebrate and remind ourselves often the forward path of an entrepreneur, because it's so plentiful in its own interesting way, right? It can be like, and I'm sure you celebrated, but there's many times where it's like you have these celebrations or you have these events or you have these awards or you have these experiences. And I mean, outside of making sure that it's on your website for everyone to see, you know, sometimes we forget. It's great to hear in this conversation, because I think it reminds all of us that are out there that are on a mission and moving forward, that there's many things. If you even take a look at your last 90 days, and write down, like, you know, what are the calls that you had? I had a call today from somebody or a text who was just elated. Oh my gosh, I just had the second most powerful Zoom ever. I had one yesterday. What's happening? And my text back is, you changed your vibe. You know, like you're vibing at a different level. And they're like, oh my God, thank you. Right. And so, you know, 3 more days later when, you know, something happens and he forgets. But we have, there's this magical journey that happens no matter what you do, that when you're on your path or on your mission or you're questing, and then it's all too easy to, that was amazing. Okay, next week I'm doing this, right? And just continue on with the quest. I mean, there's people that are listening to that right now that are drooling. They're like, I could only dream. That would be on my bucket list, you know, forever, to have my art in her home that, you know, she inspired me the way she inspired you, and would be looking up to that, what you just shared there, with awe and glory. So thank you for that. Thanks for that reminding us about those special, special times and moments. So moving forward, like maybe share with us where people can get your art. Moving forward, is there anything else that you want to share from an entrepreneurial standpoint on what's helped you get to where you are, or advice to the world in terms of entrepreneurship?
Well, as you said, you can visit my website and my contact information is there. And some of the art that's available is on my website, and some of it, you know, people are free to contact me and I can kind of give them the whole portfolio. In terms of advice, I mean, I think what I would invite people into, especially young people, is that regardless of what your vehicle is, you know, whether you're painting or you're making music or you're raising children or you're taking care of your aging parents or you're, you know, you have a job that you love or maybe you don't love, that if you can always bring yourself back to the center of why we do things. I did that throughout the decades of raising children, because there's nothing more intense than raising children. There's nothing more monumental and important than doing that. And so it allowed me to really learn and cultivate a deep understanding of the importance of staying centered around our own meaning, our own why, and rooting ourselves in that, so that we don't get pulled off and too focused on what other people think is valuable or what other people are going to recognize. That if we stay centered around our own intuition, our own voice, our own meaning, and our own why, that's what the world needs right now. The world needs people who are able to do that, who are willing to put themselves out there to do that, who are willing to take the risks and jump into the abyss and do things that scare them, and be in uncertain, unknown territory, all the while centered around that intuition and that wisdom that each person has. So my advice would be to cultivate a trust in that and to believe in it and to surround yourself with people who are striving to do that as well, because there's an immense amount of individual and collective power that we have to be a part of shaping the kind of world that we want for our children, for ourselves, for our grandchildren. And that power exists, and we often forget when we pay too much attention to what's outside. So I think that would be the one thing, certainly a core thread of truth that has been lived and felt throughout my life in all the stages and all of the things that I've learned and done and been a part of. And yeah, that's what I want my boys to know. They have everything they need inside of them. And we really... Well,
oh no, go ahead, finish.
No, that's good.
Okay, I was gonna say, I have no doubt that your boys and many people, I know that you make a big impact on the community as well. And we could have a whole show about the impact that you have on community. And I know that you talk about as your partner is very involved in music, and I can't wait to have him on the show as well. And I just love to see this whole entrepreneurial creative family come to be. And what a blessing to be able to accept that, because it's very interesting. It's very interesting times, the world of entrepreneurship and where it is now such a leading factor, and how, you know, 7% of universities and colleges are having a depletion in people signing up because people are wanting to explore, I guess, you know, shall I say in our day, shall I say that? Because I know a lot, for those of you that aren't visual and you're just listening, it's like we're, you know, holding, but no, just having fun. But in our day, it was, you know, take off after school and go to Europe, go to Thailand, go to Australia, go to Canada, you know, different places in the world and go have that experience. And then, you know, the idea would be to going back to school. And I think right now people are taking that checkout time to really understand what it is they want to do. And maybe they want to go into entrepreneurship, and it doesn't mean they don't go to school, but I know that sometimes there's a lot, I'm sure, of people going back to school at later stages and for different reasons or selective reasons, right? Like, I want to start a business, so I'll go learn things in marketing or what have you. Yeah. So I have a special question for you. And, you know, family aside, I'll say, family aside. All right. Okay, this is a question because I love music and I know that you love music as well. And most of my listeners know there's an incredible music event that's happening that I'm a big part of and walking across Ireland. And if anyone is in the music industry or loves health and wellness and gumption and all that good stuff, just go to theydiditour.ca. And if you want to know about these 8 marathons that myself and a colleague are walking across Ireland to raise money for the music industry. So if you're in the music industry and you need money and resources, go on there and we can hook you up with someone that can take you down that road. But you're on your way to a desert island. You've got one suitcase. It's carry on only. And you've got room for one album. And it can't be like your list on your phone or whatever. It's one album. What album are you taking with you?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, I have to ask a side question first. Is my partner with me?
You're going by yourself.
Okay. Well, then I will have to say his first instrumental album, Rocking Horse.
Okay. And what's his name so we can...
Joël Fafard.
Okay.
So he was about ready to leave the music industry. You know what a slog it is, you know how challenging it is to stay in it. Mm-hmm. And certainly that's never been more true than the past 3 years. And before he left it, because I know it's where his heart is centered, I said to him, what's one thing you need to do that you will look back and you will say, I wish I would have done that? And he said, an instrumental album. So I said, I think you should do that before you leave music. And it was so well received. He was nominated for a Juno and Western Canadian Music Award. And of course, it did not end his career. He carried on from there. So it was a real risk he took for himself. He didn't think that was a marketable thing. Mm-hmm. And I was so proud of him.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll have to have him on the show. We'll definitely have him on the show. And I'm just going to do a shout out. If there is any musician that is in a challenging place, and I'm just going to talk about Canada because right now we're both in Canada, but there is an organization called Unison that artists can reach out to for financial and emotional support. And that's one of the charities that we are actually donating to with Walking Across. So I just want to do a shout out because if there is a musician out there, and I'm sure you are listening because that's the vibe, you can go there if needed and see if they have resources that support you. And on the other side of it, in terms of giving gifts to everybody, if you want to be on the show, I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to be where Megan is, then please just reach out to us at deb@debdrummond.com and see if Mission Accepted is a great platform for you and your audience. And for those of you that are entrepreneurial and you're taking on that quest, or you've been doing it for 10 or 20 or 30 years like we have, I have a few gifts. I have 15 top performance tips that I'm happy to give you that breaks out everything that you could ever possibly want to make sure that you're touching based on. And so it's just a really easy PDF. So just contact us, give us your email, and we'll send you off some really beautiful things, as well as we have some complimentary classes, because you can't. It's good to have some complimentary things as you're building a business. And we have one on a class on innovative marketing. And we also have one on the power of the follow-up. And, you know, it's great to be out and in business, but you also need to know how to have those conversations so that that business closes and you sustain yourself. And there's a very special formula to follow up that can just make that so much easier, because it tends not to be the place that people love to hang out the most, right? So we've got some gifts for you as well. Megan, thank you so much for coming onto the show. It was so great to hear more in depth about your art. I know that you're going to be back. I know that we're going to be hanging soon, and let's make sure that we definitely do that. And for you crazy, cool, best, stupendous listeners, we so appreciate. Please hit the subscribe button and do share this episode with everyone that you know needs to hear it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, and we will see you again next week. Bye for now.
Thanks, Beth.